Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Let's get right into today's show. This is a client who calls over Zoom, and I'm going to call him Stuart. And at the very beginning of the session, right after consent, he says to me, "Can you tell me what Jody has to say?" And those names are made up names, of course. And I said, "Okay." So I just asked the spirit world, "Who's Jody and what does he want to hear from Jody?" And I hear, "I'm Jody and I'm dead." And I was his wife. And I'm like, "Okay, thanks, Jody. So what's going on? What does he want or what is he looking for?" And she says, "Well," she says, "he wants certain things. He wants to know some things today, but he's going to get some very different things." And I'm like, "Is that going to go over well?" Because clients typically are paying for what they want. And they have that attitude. Some of them have that attitude. Not every client, though. Some of them really do want open when they say, "What do you get?" And some of them don't. And she said, "Well," she said, "he says open. He's saying to you that he wants to hear what Jody has to say. And I'm going to do exactly what he wants, literally, but it's not necessarily going to be what he wants to hear." And I said, "Okay, I'm understanding that, so I'll let you go." So she says, "Well, I'm going to give you some validations to start." She says, "I've been past for, you know, 8 to 9 years, she says, in that time frame, just over 8 years, but less than nine. And she says, "He's been married since I passed and divorced since I died. And he wants to know if he's going to have another partner." That's one of his questions. And I said, "Okay, are you answering that right away?" And she goes, "No, I've got some things to say before I give that answer. If I give it right away, he'll go down that road. And he needs to hear some things before that." So she goes, "You go ahead and start and you tell him that." So I said, "Okay, Stuart," I said, "Jody tells me that she's passed over." And he goes, "Mm-hmm." And so I tell him all of that stuff. And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, that's true. But what does she want to tell me?" And I said, "Well, first of all, that's what she wants to tell you." And he goes, "What?" And I said, "Well, you asked me what Jody wants to tell you. That's what she's chosen to say." And I said, "If you're going open, then whatever I say to you is what the person who's passed over is saying to say to you. I'm not making that up or trying to find things to divert away from what Jody's trying to say to you." I said, "Do you understand that?" "Yeah." And he just says, "Yes." So you can see in him, like, there are things that I want, but I'm not saying them. But I'm saying open. So I just said, "Well, if you're okay with that, then I'm going to continue." So I said to Jody, "Okay, so that happened. Now, where do you want to go next?" And she goes, "Could you get out your pen and paper on your desk?" And I said, "I could." So I grabbed a notepad from the corner of my desk and a pen. And she says, "I want to point out to him that, like, one of the messages, the biggest messages from me is that he uses cliches all the time." And I said, "Okay." I said, "So what do you want me to do? Just write down that he says cliches?" "No," she says, "I'm going to say them to you." And I said, "Okay, why am I writing them down?" She goes, "Because you're not good with cliches."
That is accurate.
I was like, "Oh," I had such a good laugh right there because that is so accurate, as you're pointing out. So I, you know, just kind of hung my head in silent shame. And I said, "Okay, go ahead, Jody." So I said, "You're going to tell me, is there like a whole bunch of them?" And because I can probably remember one at least accurately. "No," she says, "there are tons." I said, "Why?" And she goes, "Because this is how he talks to people." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Yes, this is how he literally talks to people. He uses cliches to gain control over others." And I said, okay, so like what? And she goes, just to start, say things like, listen to your elders, parents know best, stuff like that. She goes, write those down. So I wrote down these general ones at the very beginning about listening to your elders. And I said this to him. And I said, okay, I said, the first thing Jody is going through is that she's got some cliches to go through. And as soon as I said that, Kelly, he sits back in his chair, crosses his arms like this, and just kind of just doesn't say anything and looks angry with me. And I thought, well, whether he looks angry or not, he's asked me to convey messages from Jody, and she's in full control, and she's seems to understand exactly what her purpose is, though she's not telling me upfront what it is. It sounds like she's got everything prepared and is well organized. So I'm going to go with it. So I told him the first cliche, and I said, you use cliches to control people, and in particular, your children. So she's starting with that, saying that these are the cliches that you say. And so he really listens. He doesn't say anything. And he doesn't look happy in the least. And so she says what the cliche is, like, listen to your elders, meaning don't share any of your own opinions. Don't tell me anything you want to say. I'm not listening to you. You need to listen to me. And she explains that to me, and she says, okay, go, say all of that. And then I say what cliche he uses, and then I say exactly what he means by it, and that he's not going to say all those words to people because then it sounds outwardly mean. He uses the cliche to say it because it also wraps it up really tightly, and he doesn't have to say as many words because cliches, as you know, have all kinds of meaning and context to them, and he doesn't want to have to go into the context because he doesn't want to give the other person an opportunity to communicate. So she tells me to say that one to him. And this is how the whole thing goes. Like, she'll give me a cliche meaning, and then I tell him. He says nothing to me. He just sits there with one look on his face, doesn't change his look the entire time that I'm going through all of the cliches, says nothing. The next one she says to me is, love means never having to say you're sorry. And she says, well, of course, that means that it's appropriate right now. I've done something wrong. You're calling me out on it. You're asking for an apology. You're looking to be respected and to be considered. And I have no intention of doing any of that. I'm just going to say love, meaning I actually love you when I do all of these things to you, which isn't true, but that's what he's trying to infer, means never having to apologize, which isn't true in the least. It's a cliche that's horrible. But he uses it with all of that meaning of, I'm going to infer that I love you when we both know my actions show you that I don't, and my words show you that I don't, but I'm going to say that to confuse you and keep you here. And I know you want an apology because you're flat out asking for one, or approaching me for one, or approaching me for a healthy discussion. And I'm just going to shut down the healthy discussion, the request for an apology, the request to be loved, or to be present. I'm just going to shut all of that down with just a cliche, and that's it. And if I train you that as soon as I start to say it, eventually as I say love and I get right, you know I'm going into my cliche, you just sort of throw up your hands and you walk away, and I've brick walled you right there. So there's a lot of grooming in this in his relationships, and I'm talking currently about the one with all of his children. But you know, I should have said, Kelly, his children, his sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, grandchildren, sisters, brothers. I'm going to say family, like in a broader sense. And then Jody says to me, "Okay, you know, say those to him." So I do. This is how his session goes. And then the next one she says to me is, don't sweat the small stuff. And I said, oh, okay. I said, this just seems to go almost like with each cliche is a form of verbal abuse. And she goes, yep, exactly. And she goes, so the next one is don't sweat the small stuff, meaning you're upset about something that I've done that's big stuff. But if I say don't sweat the small stuff, then I'm saying to you, you're making a bigger deal out of something than you need to, according to me, because I don't want you to confront me. So I'm dismissing anything by saying it's small stuff, even when somebody approaches them and says, Dad, this isn't small stuff, this is big shit. This is something that can't be passed. We have to talk to you about it. And he uses the cliche to be dismissive. And she adds in the expression or cliche, calm down, to do the same type of thing, meaning I'm going to control your emotions. Your emotions are valid and in fact healthy, but I'm going to say calm down so that you cannot process them. I'm going to frustrate you. Then Jody says another one is practice makes perfect. And everybody in the family knows that this means do it again. Just do it again. Do it better. I don't care what you're doing. Just do it again and do it better. And this one is really harsh because somebody can be doing something out of love for him or just out of kindness. And he'll use that kind of an expression just to get them to work harder for him. And it's not necessary. So he just does it, like I'll say, to be abusive, to be controlling, to be mean, to be spiteful. And I asked Jody, I said, my God, I said, does he do this to the grandchildren? And she goes, oh, absolutely. Because if you do this to the kids when they're really small and you train them like when they're really tiny, then hopefully, according to him, they're not even going to question any of these cliches. And I said, well, do his adult children question the cliches? And she goes, yes, all the time. And they approach him all the time and say, don't use your cliches on us. And he continues to use them more and more. And I said, oh, I said, he brick walls everybody with the cliches. And she goes, absolutely. And she goes, this is why I'm bringing this up today. He has been destroying all of his relationships with every single member of the family. And as it stands right now, he has one person in the family left who's willing to stay to the end, the one that's going to try and people please him to the end, who's now cracking, who's now understanding what all these cliches are doing, and she's breaking. So he's losing every single person. It's why he's reaching out to me today. And I said, does he know that he's using cliches to do this? And she said, absolutely he does. He's done it very purposefully his entire life. And I said, Jody, where'd this come from? And I said, like, where did he learn to do this? And she goes, his own father. And she goes, and about that, she goes, I want you, go ahead. She says, finish with those cliches. So I did. And she goes, now I want to say something really important because he's really angry. He's just steaming. This is not what he wants to hear from you today. He wants to hear when he's going to have his next wife. He just wants to know because he's right now, especially because he's losing all of the kids, all the grandkids. So he just wants to know when somebody else is going to show up so that he can train her to tolerate all of this shit. And I said, okay, so like what's going on? And she said, well, the next thing that I want you to say to him is that he's not going to die in his 40s. I said, pardon? And she goes, his dad died at 48. He had a heart attack. Stuart is terrified that he's going to die at 48. That he's going to die just like his dad because he's become his dad. He's become somebody who's got everybody out of his life, just like his father did. And when we were married, I told him that if he ever became like his dad, which he was, but I just kept threatening it, that I was going to leave him. And I did leave him, but I left him through death. I didn't leave him like walking out the door saying, you became your father. And I said to her, well, Jody, like, do the grandkids know about their grandfather? Like, did they know, like, all these cliches from him too? And she went, oh, yes. And I said, well, do they bring this up in the conversation with him when they confront him? Like, you've become like dad? Like, is this a conversation? And she said, oh, my God, yes. Absolutely. Our kids have tried everything to speak to him, to pull him out of using the cliches, and he goes to them all the time. She goes, so I want you to tell him that he's not dying in his 40s. He has to stick around longer than his dad did to actually deal with this issue. And that's going to be the game changer, because there's a really deep fear in him and a belief that he's going to live the same life as his dad and that he's going to die at 48. And then he's not going to know what to do once he turns 49. He's going to have a shit fit, because it's like, oh my God, I was certain I was going to be just like my dad and die. Now what do I do? So she says, he's calling you. He's not 48. He's not even 47. He's got some time, but he's not living his life like that. So I said, okay. So I said, Stuart, and then I told him this. And honestly, Kelly, when I mentioned this about his dad, his arms, like, you know, like he was sitting like this in front of me with his arms crossed. He uncrossed his arms. He goes like this, like he starts like rubbing his leg like this. And he sits and you can see, like, and you can literally hear him like taking deep breaths, to the point where I had to say, Stuart, are you okay? Because it looked to me like he was hyperventilating, like he was going into a panic attack. And I said, are you all right? And he goes, no, I'm not like this. He goes, this is not what I was expecting. I said, no, I know. I said, Jody has told me that the reason that you wanted to talk to her today was simply because you wanted to know if you were going to have another partner and when. And I said, but the answer to that is all tied up into that if you actually are going to have another partner and when, that it's tied into, am I going to live long enough to have another partner? See, he's not asking directly, right? Am I going to die at 48 like my dad? He doesn't ask that question, but that's the one that he wants asked. So instead he asks the question, am I going to have another partner? Because it means to him, if I am, then I'm likely going to live long enough to live past 48, but he doesn't want to ask that. And so I mentioned this to him and he looks at me and he goes, yep. And at this time, Kelly, like, he takes his hands and he kind of puts them through his hair, and you can see all of the things that Stuart does when he's stressed. When he's avoiding reality, which you're hearing is a consistent thing in his life. That's why he's using all the cliches. He's constantly avoiding whatever reality his children are trying to ask him to be in terms of the type of relationship that he's created with each of them, where they're trying to say, can we be present here? And can we discuss the real issue? And he's saying, no, I can't do that. I use the cliches to go into this cognitive dissonance and into the states where I think I have control. But it's complete avoidance. So I said to Jody, perchance, does he have a career where this is playing out as well? Like, is this an issue in the career too? Because it sounds really deep. And she says, yes. I said, what does he do for a living? Are you able to tell me, or is that a fact I could share with him? And she goes, yeah, he's a lawyer. I said, okay. And I said, so he uses cliches? And she goes, yep. And I said, like, everywhere? And she goes, oh, yeah. She said, he uses cliches with his clients, his coworkers, and he owns his own firm. She says, so, like, everybody has to tolerate all his cliches. Everybody knows what they mean, just like the family at home. And I said, does he do it in court? And she goes, oh, yes. She goes, he uses cliches in court. The lawyers know it. All the judges know it. She says he uses it all the time so that the jury understands what he's saying and where he wants them. Like, he controls them all with these cliches. And sometimes even other lawyers even have to call him out and explain to the jury, now he's using a cliche and it doesn't mean, and that's not a fact, but they have to spend time going down that rabbit hole. So to explain to the jury something, and then they have to kind of try and pull the jury out of that rabbit hole. But she says, man, is it effective, because people remember the cliches. Like, it's very effective shit that he does. And she says he's also a politician. And I said, he has two careers? And she goes, oh yeah, he does. And she goes, and in politics, he talks in cliches. And it works. She goes, his strategy has worked tremendously in all areas of his life, except in his personal life, where he's at the very end of the line in how many people in the family are willing to continue this for the rest of their lives. So family members have all fallen away. Co-workers can't, because they're tied to him financially. Clients think that, you know, he's a lawyer. You call up a lawyer. They don't know he uses cliches. So they go. Some of them think it's funny or that it works, or they just move along with it. Because really what they want at the end of the day is for him to win for him, for them. So they're not going to walk away from him, because they feel trapped there, because he has something they need. So she says, Karen, it's literally in all aspects of his life. So to confront him today about this is a really big deal. He's sweating sitting in that chair for good reason, because he's afraid that if he stops using the cliches, at least at work, that he won't have that income. And if he doesn't use them in politics, well, then maybe he won't get reelected. And I said, okay, so you want me to explain all of that? And she goes, yeah, because it's the truth. It's his life. I want to unfold all of it. So I told Stuart about his work, about being a lawyer, about being in politics. And he just sat there, and over again, Kelly, he'd rub his hands on his legs. He'd put his hands through his hair and he'd just look at me. And eventually he just started bending over in his chair, and you could see that his stress was escalating through the session. Then she says, can you please say one last cliche to him? What did you just say to me? She goes, and say it like that. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do with it, Jody? And she goes, that's the cliche he uses to blow his stack. That's when he goes violent. That's when he goes to the alcohol. And I went, oh, okay. I said, and what do you want me to do with it? Like, where do I go with this? I don't want to just start it. I want to have all the information. What do you want me to do? And she goes, well, at that point, including at work, he goes to the bar. And I'm like, there's a bar at work? And she goes, oh yeah. But he calls it for the clients to make them relax. But he drinks with them. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, so I want you to point all of that out, because there's facts in it. And I want you to say the expression, what did you just say to me? And she goes, he uses that in particular with the kids, but he'll use that with his staff as well. And they know what that means. That if he says that there's the anger burst, he will bust things, he will drink, he will absolutely lose any control that he has left. And then they know all hell breaks loose. So like, just close the boardroom door, because shit's going to break. But he does it when there's nobody in the office other than staff. He wouldn't dare do it if there was a client in the office. He knows exactly when it's appropriate to do it, meaning I can get away with it. And at home, when he does it, it means take the grandkids out of the house. It means which one of the adult children are going to go in and try and talk him out and down. And now that all the children are gone and there's one left, there's nobody else to take the other kids out. There's no teamwork. So everything is now at the point of falling apart. That's why he's calling me. It's last stages of this dismantling of everything. And I said, okay, Jody, so where are we at? What's going on? I can tell him that. What's happening? And she goes, what I'm trying to say is that he's in fight mode. What I'm trying to say that all of life is fight mode. She says, what I want him to be able to know today is at the bottom of all of this is that he's been living in a constant state of fight since he was a tiny kid. And doesn't understand how to calm himself down, how to manage the anger that he's been living with since he was a tiny, tiny little kid. And because of how he was raised with his dad. And she goes, and you can say, and grandpa too, if you want to, because this is a line of family. And it's not just males. He's got sisters that do the same thing in their family. So it's not a guy thing. We're not saying it's male or, you know, gender specific. We're saying it's a thing in his family. And it's behavioral. It's not DNA. So she says, please say all of that to him and tell him that there is help. Tell him. That's what he's reaching out to me for. And I said, okay. So I said, okay, Stuart, let's go. I said, this is where she says the meat and potatoes of the section of this session is. And what you're really looking for here is what to do with all of this behavior. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, okay, I can see that now, like this. And I said, because what is happening right now is that you are going into fight mode, looking at me. And he goes, yep, I can feel it, like this. And I said, you want to fight Jody right now. But what you really want is to fight me because I'm the person present. But you need me because you think Jody's the only one that has the answers because you won't listen to anybody on earth. You won't listen to anybody because of your own behavior. And he goes, yes. And I said, and that's why you want another woman. And he looks at me and he goes, okay. And I said, so you think if you find another woman that she might be able to pick up where Jody left off, where your second wife couldn't, and you think that perhaps Jody would be able to fix all of this, but you put her on this kind of pedestal because she's dead. And he goes, I got nowhere else to go, have I, Karen? Nobody will tolerate me. He says, I got staff quitting now. And he says, I don't know where to go. He says, so I called a friend. He says, they told me to call you. I don't even believe in this. He says, I just reached out because I don't know where else to go. And I thought, fine, maybe if I call a medium, maybe Jody will come through and tell me what the hell's going on. And I said, what's going on is the fight mode in you was activated as a child because you couldn't flight, you couldn't flee from your dad, you couldn't freeze, and you couldn't people please your dad. And he goes, oh my God. And he just sits there and he goes, oh, and he starts going like this with his fist on his forehead. Oh my God. He goes, that's true. He goes, I feel sick inside. And I said, yeah, I said, you're probably for the first time actually in your body. And I said, are you okay? And he goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, breathe. Just be aware of your breath. And he goes, okay. And I said, Stuart, you own the business. I said, so is it possible for you to tell the staff that you're not coming in for at least a couple of weeks? And he goes, yep, I own the place. And I said, Jody is saying that you're financially secure to pay the staff for a couple of weeks holidays, correct? And he goes, yeah. I said, can you do that and get into therapy with somebody who can walk you through your childhood and teach you to come out of fight, flight, freeze, and fawn? And he goes, yes. I said, have you heard of these things? And he goes, I sure have. He goes, I've heard of them, just didn't understand what they were, that they actually had anything to do with me. And I said, okay. I said, so what you're going to need is a therapist. And he goes, well, I'd like to come back and see you. He goes, this is the best help I've ever had. And I said, well, I can't do the work that needs to get done. I said, you need a therapist who's qualified to go into your past and walk you through it and help you understand that you chose fight mode and that you haven't been able to come out of it, and teach you how to do that, and then be able to walk you through the grief and the anger and all of the stuff that you have never been able to process and that you've hidden in all of these cliches. And he goes, yeah, okay. He goes, okay, are we done? And I said, I'll ask Jody. So I said, Jody, are you done? And the energy I get out of Jody at this point, Kelly, is just absolutely awesome. It's just so peaceful and so full of love. And I sat there and thought, after channeling all these messages, I'm going to have a little bit of that peace too. I'm going to try and make sure that I send so much of it to Stuart because he needs it. And I realize, you know, listening to this type of podcast, people might be really agitated thinking, holy shit, this is a man that just dishes out a ton of abuse. How could you want peace for that man? And then I think, well, but if anybody understands that he's been living in a fight mode, and they might listen to this and think, holy shit, I've been fawning all my life. I've just been doing all the people pleasing. Or I avoid. Or whatever it is that you do out of all of those things, if you've been doing that, and if you recognize maybe that you've been doing it for your whole life too, you might be sitting here thinking, holy poop, maybe I don't use cliches. But maybe I am in one of those stages myself. And maybe it doesn't look as bad as fight. But maybe I need help too. And maybe it's time to take the break, just like Stuart needs, from whatever it is in their own lives before they continue their own destruction. Because destruction doesn't always look the same. It doesn't always mean that your whole family is walking away from you, but there still may be destruction that you're not willing to see. And maybe today somebody can sit there and go, yeah, there is some destruction. And maybe I'm not using cliches. Maybe I'm using something else. So I'm hoping that while people are listening to a really tough life, a really tough life of destruction in fight mode, that others might be listening to this and going, okay, maybe there's a little bit of a takeaway for me too. I forgot, Kelly, he had one more thing that he said at the end of the session. He said, can you tell Jody that I love her and thank you? And I said, I don't need to. And he goes, what? I said, Stuart, I don't need to do it for you. I said, Jody is in your life. She's present. People who've crossed over are here on earth with us and they love us. They can't interfere in our lives. But she's here. She can hear you. And he goes, okay. He goes, then fine. She heard me. Thank you. And that was the end of the session. This is a session that ends, I'll say, on a really uncomfortable note where he just thanks me for the session and then Stuart is done. So I'm going to leave it at that for today because that's actually how the session ends. And I'm just going to say that I hope that everybody found something of value in today's podcast.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.